As I raise my head to broadcast my objection, as your latest triumph draws the final straw.
There comes the black smoke. Throttle's advancing. Once he goes into burner, that brown smoke will disappear. Right about now, we're into burner, and here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bone!
That second clip of the B1 passing because it set off all the car alarms in the parking lot. That's my favorite. Say, why would you be playing that randomly out of nowhere? Oh, no reason, just because we're going to talk to Greg Merk. Greg is a retired major in the Air Force, and he was a bone driver, B1 pilot, about 20 years in the military. He now is he's a candidate for Congress. This is now going to be his third try at winning that seat. He did run for state representative, but ran twice against Matt Gaetz for Congress, and now is in the race again. He is a CEO of Independent Media, Next Gen USA, and also a portfolio manager. And Greg, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, Andrew, it's good to be with you. Thank you. Good morning.
Look, I figure you probably didn't get to hear that an awful lot because you were inside flying it, but does it bring back memories?
Oh, yeah. We can hear it inside, but yeah.
Nice.
And I've got the hearing loss to prove it.
I believe it. Do you miss those days?
I sure do. Yeah, I sure do. And I'll tell you, the mission of the B-1 has even expanded since I retired in 2011. It's a beautiful aircraft, and it's good to see that its life is extended.
It's you know, for those of us who grew up watching like the B-52s flying up over northern Michigan and stuff, like, it's just when you see a B-1 fly, it's so sick. It's such an enormous plane. If people haven't seen it in real life, you know, they're used to watching these F-18s and F-16s and things like, oh, okay, you know, a bomber. Oh my God. No, it is a massive plane. And to see it sweep those wings, and anyway, it's very cool. Okay, so this is, again, this is going to be your third try at Congress, but of course the field is substantially different now because we don't have an incumbent running that you're challenging. Why do you want to be in Congress? Why have you run? Why are you willing to run for a third time?
Well, always run because of the issues. Now, I always knew that Matt was an exceptional candidate, very difficult to beat, but you know, sometimes it's about advancing ideas. But that said, the field is wide open. And as you know, my military background, we live in the most military district in the country. I probably have the most diverse and dynamic military career of anybody that's ever run for this office. And when you look at our military, the recruitment is way down. Woke policies are dividing our military and, frankly, turning people off of joining the military, whether you're talking about transgenders, gay pride celebrations. None of this is making us stronger. Our enemies don't fear us. Instead, they're laughing at us. So we need to rebuild and reorganize our military. We need to invest in new weapon systems, not in climate change initiatives. And my intent is to make real changes on the military and armed services end of it. But even more important, our economy really is skating on thin ice. Now, regardless of what the pundits on television will see, I've got a background in finance. I understand markets. I understand the bond markets, the fundamentals of economics. I can tell you that this economy is skating on thin ice. We're running massive deficits, multi-trillion dollars. We're $36 trillion in debt. We're going to be $50 trillion in debt by the time Trump leaves office if we do not change things. The interest will be $2.5 trillion in 4 years. This is simply unsustainable. We're spending over $1 trillion today just to pay the interest. Now, when you put that in perspective, we're adding $1 trillion to the national debt every 100 days. It took us 200 years to go $2 trillion in debt. 1986, America was $2 trillion in debt. We now add $2 trillion in 200 days. This is simply unsustainable. We can't continue to do this. I have a plan. I'm not just about platitudes. I have real specific policies that can really, truly advance Donald Trump's MAGA agenda and usher in a real golden age of prosperity.
So when you think about that, you know, there's a lot of candidates who run on fiscal responsibility, reining in the debt. That certainly is going to put you at odds with the incoming president, but it also puts you at odds with kind of the history of this discussion, right? People say they're going to, they get in there and it just doesn't happen. There doesn't seem to be any real political will to make it happen. I completely agree with you. The debt is out of control. The deficit is out of control. The policies in Washington are crazy. But how do you actually make that happen since so many other people have tried and failed?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, in 2022, I actually ran on returning to a pre-COVID budget. That, coincidentally, erases about $2 trillion from the current budget. That's what Elon Musk and Vivek want to do. So, you know, I kind of disagree with Trump's position, because he's got the Department of Governmental Efficiency, and not that that's a policy-making, but it's an idea. It's to put forth initiatives. So he does have a desire to cut to gut the debt. And there are ways. You know, you got to have ideas. You can't just say cut the deficit. You have to have real ideas. We budget Medicare, which we could call open-ended budgeting. If we disaggregate it, we could save $1.4 trillion in the next 10 years. We could repeal things like the Davis-Bacon Act, which adds about $50 to $75 billion a year in unnecessary costs for government contracting. We need to save Social Security. I have an idea to do that. It's by phasing in personal retirement accounts. We need to address the Medicare deficits that we have. And simply, it can't be done. We have the way. There are plenty of ways to do it. What we need is the will. And I believe that bold ideas sell. In that it's all about selling your ideas. And with the Department of Government Efficiency, the will is there in the budget, in the Trump administration. We just need to make sure we get the will in Congress.
No, point taken, by the way, about DOGE. That's fair. I more go on what he did in his first administration in terms of debt spending. But no, fair point about seeming, at least on that slice, to be interested in reform. Greg, you said something interesting, and I want to... It seems like there's a tension between two things, and I want to give you a chance to explain. On the one hand, you said we need to invest in new weapon systems. We have invested pretty heavily in things like the Zumwalt class, which was a boondoggle, although we're now turning it to hypersonic platform. The F-35, which is a maybe not. We had the F-22 anyway. That's on the one hand, okay? But on the other hand, you've got the DOGE, right? You've got Elon Musk coming in saying things like the F-35 are a waste. We need to invest in drone technology, which is going to be much less expensive. How do you reconcile your desire to advance military technology with what seems to be at least one part of Trump's administration, which seems to want to curtail military investment?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of the waste in our military is going to climate initiatives. We're spending billions of dollars converting bases and going green in the military. This is a huge mistake. So we need to just straight out dissect all of those initiatives out of our defense budget, which is nearing $1 trillion, and use that money instead to invest in things like we need to bring the F-22. You know, the F-22 gives us air supremacy. And we cut back on the F-22 and added F-35s in that. I believe that needs to be reversed. We've got the new B-21 coming out online. We need to upgrade our missile, part of the triad in our land-based nuclear weapons. All of these things can be done very easily by cutting out all the green energy initiatives that are sucking billions of dollars out of defense budgets. So that's definitely able to be done. But there are so many ways in government, so many areas that can be cut. You just have to get into the budget, and you have to line by line start looking at these things, and there's just massive pork in there. I've looked at it. I've read it. I've got a plan myself. We can literally reduce the size of government kind of half. I mean, just look at these these cabinet positions. You know, I ran on 2022 on eliminating the Department of Education. That's what they're talking about right now. And frankly, we really only need a handful of cabinet positions. You know, obviously, state, treasury, defense, we need the Department of Justice, NVA. And, you know, the rest of them we could kind of combine in a Department of Domestic Affairs, whether it's HUD, HHS, Tier Energy, all these. We don't need all these separate bureaucracies. And at the very least, we need to take them out of Washington and spread that wealth around the country instead of concentrating it in Washington, where we know these people have a long history of usurping their authority and squandering U.S. tax dollars.
I think it was it Kash Patel maybe was the one who said, you know, close down the FBI buildings and just put those people out in the field working working cases. There's something very appealing about that. Switching gears just a little bit to the kind of the political analysis of this particular race. As we all know, the field was huge. And then you had, you know, obviously Jimmy Patronis got in and or hasn't even maybe officially gotten in yet. But, of course, President Trump has endorsed him, even to the point where Tom Homan rescinded his endorsement of Gene Valentino and got on board with Trump in endorsing Jimmy Patronis. You know, that forced Michelle Salzman to get out of the race, although several others have stayed in, including yourself and Joel Rubman and Jeff Witt and some others. But why do you think you can win against a huge bankroll and name recognition and the endorsement of the incoming president?
Well, first of all, I don't know how, you know, critical Trump's endorsement of it is. You know, I think as people get to know who Patronis is, I mean, this is a guy who's going to use Florida tax dollars to fund, allegedly to fund his lawfare and his legal defenses, which, you know, I was one of the first in early 2017 to call out the weaponization of the government against Donald Trump. So nobody's more sensitive to that than me. But to use tax dollars from the state of Florida, for Florida residents, to pay for that, I think it's a huge mistake. But, you know, more important, it goes to the credibility of the individual. You know, politics, this is why Americans despise politicians. They're always more than willing to use American tax dollars to ingratiate themselves, to enrich themselves, or to advance their political career. Now, everybody knows he was eyeing the governorship. All right, so what a way to curry favor with President Trump, who would then give him the endorsement for governor should he decide to run. Well, he got an early Christmas present. He got the endorsement for the seat. But I think if the people of Northwest Florida that ought to pick their representative, and they better pick a representative that not only understands the part of the large economy here, which is our military presence, but understands the fundamentals of the economics and financial markets, somebody who knows what needs to be done beyond the platitudes, but specific policies and plans to get this country out of its fiscal hole.
Last thing for you as we wrap up, we're talking to Greg Murky as a candidate for Congressional District 1. Greg, give me your 30 seconds. You've said a lot already, but, you know, give me your 30 seconds. Why you?
Well, we, as everybody knows, that the economy is not what they're telling us what it is. We need real reforms in Washington. And when you talk about securing the border, I'm a firm believer in by cutting off all the gravy, all the money. They're coming here for free stuff. I've been all around the world. I understand and know why people come to America. We're the wealthiest nation in America. But if you want to stay the wealthiest nation, we better keep our fiscal house in order. And we need to reform government. We need massive, massive cuts in spending. And if we do not do that, then Trump is not going to be able to make America great. It's going to be the responsibility of Congress, get our fiscal house in order, and we can make it happen.
Greg Murky is, again, a retired major in the United States Air Force, a B-1 pilot, and now a financial analyst and a media company owner. Greg, thank you so much for running. I always appreciate when people run for office. I just think it's good to have choices. So thank you for running. Thank you for your service. And best of luck in the primary coming up in a little over, not quite 2 months.
Well, thanks for having me, Andrew. If people can go to votemerk.com and they can support my campaign, that's votemerk.com.